AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
School of Humans.
Hello, welcome to Cadaver Gals, the critically reviewed podcast where we talk about all of the ways people have died to cope with our own mortality.
critically reviewed.
I am Taylor, along with Gabby.
I liked how you started with the bitterness. I appreciate that, and I think that's a good omen for today's session. Also, hello.
I got scared right now. I thought I was just about to get in trouble. Yes.
Oh my god.
And Nika.
Yes, my ass has actually been critically reviewed by every barista in Atlanta, so I know a lot about critical reviews.
Great. Wait, is it acclaimed or reviewed? I like you didn't say acclaimed.
No.
You said
reviewed, not reviewed. Claimed. No.
Oh, that's like this guy about my stand-up recently at a show. He was like, your comedy is really bland, which I was like, okay, but I usually think my comedy is too weird to understand. So what I think I was like trying to question him about the criticism, but we realized is that he was trying to say I have a monotone. So,
That's not about your comedy. It's just your voice.
Yeah, just it's not. I have maybe good jokes, but they're terrible to listen to through the vehicle of my mouth.
Vehicle, which is your voice. Okay, great. So today we're pretty much going to be talking about my hell. So Gabby's going to tell us how bacon fights back, and Nika is going to tell us about death while riding a horse. So really great
bacon
stuff.
Bacon fighting back. I know you didn't just refer to the animal, the pig, as bacon.
Yeah, I did.
Wow. She's leaning into it. Yeah, the episode's all about animals. So sorry, mm-hmm. Taylor.
So today's trigger warnings are basically if you see any part of yourself in me, you're going to be triggered. So things like animals consuming humans, blood, gore, heart attacks, death. I'm going to say it. Animal cruelty, probably.
Anorexia, yeah. And eating disorders and bulimia.
And anorexia, eating disorders and really great stuff like that. Okay, great. Cue the music.
Cadaver Gals.
I don't even know who should go first because it's both are going to trigger me. But Gabby, I'm going to choose Gabby. So take it away.
Okay, yeah, so I guess this is the bacon story, but it's actually about pre-bacon, which is called a pig.
Pre-bacon. Jail. I don't believe in jail, but Gabby gets jail right now.
You're going to jail. Yeah. Okay. So this is about a guy named Terry, and he was living up in Oregon. Okay. He had a farm, and the farm was really good for him because he was a Vietnam War veteran. And so he had had some war trauma, I guess, trigger warning, war trauma. I already said it, but wars be happening. So he had that. He had PTSD. And so kind of after the war, and also when he got a little bit older, he started a farm in rural Oregon, and he had a variety of animals. His brother was like, yeah. Yeah, so he had like some turkeys and some other birds. And notably, he had his, I'll just call them regular pigs. He had some pigs, and they were some big daddy pigs too. They were just like Jimungo, huge pigs. All of them were like 700 pounds. He had some sows and also one boar, and his boar had a fun name. His boar was named Teddy. So,
oh, cute.
Yeah, so Terry's the dude. Teddy is the pig, the male pig. And apparently, you know, whenever like the pigs would have kids, little piglets, he would then give the piglets to like the kids in the area to have, which I was like, that was just like a sentence that was in several articles. But I do wonder about, you know, just giving the kids some piglets. I wonder if they asked their parents first or otherwise just like brought home some pigs.
Yeah, I'd be mad if my kid just came home with a pig. I'd be like, what do you want me to do with this? I mean, don't get me wrong. They're cute and everything. But yeah. Like, you got to know how to take care of them and do all the things. You can't just like willy-nilly be getting pigs.
You can't. That is a big, big theme for cadaver gals. You can't just willy-nilly be getting pigs. That's what we're saying. Especially these pigs. They were, yeah, because usually, you know, fun facts, most domesticated pigs, usually they'll be in more like the 250 to 300 pound range. But again, these were 700 pound big daddy
pigs. Wait, hold up. Let's take a moment. So this man was giving away piglets, but they would grow to be 700 pounds, willy-nilly.
I mean, I guess it just depends, because I don't know. It was unclear whether or not, it didn't seem that he, you know, processed, i.e. killed the pigs or anything. So I don't, I don't know what he was using the pigs for. Maybe he like fed them a lot. Maybe they were special fat pigs, but.
That's just very big. That's very large for a pet.
Which is not, you know, unusual for pigs. Cadaver Gal's the pig weighing experts. Now this is what this episode is. But, you know, pigs can get that big, you know, but these, in general, they are not that big, but this is America, okay? So we have big pigs here. And I don't just mean Republicans. Okay.
Okay.
Good job. I love that.
Good, Gabby.
Okay. So one day, I was about to call him Teddy. Terry the man, Teddy the pig. Okay. So one time, Terry the man, he was, you know, messing around, you know, doing his farm duties, etc. And one of the pigs bit him. Okay. Which is so rude of that pig. But also, Terry apparently had accidentally stepped on a piglet. So it might have been one of the lady pigs, one of the sows. It might have been like a protective thing. Because apparently pig mamas can be pretty protective of their little babies. Except for when they're having them, it's really important to get the piglets out of the way. Because often lots of piglets die because the mama pigs crush them as they're coming out because they're so big. So if you have a pig having a baby, a little hot tip from the cadaver gals. No, you would probably know more about that if you had a pig having piglets.
Yeah, anyway. If you have pigs that are having piglets.
You know. Don't listen to this episode. You'll be like, these stupid girls.
You know, when I think of pigs, I think of like teacup piglets, like as like domesticated pigs. I forget that, you know, we be eating them.
Yeah, and maybe screaming totally and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I watched Spirited Away for the first time yesterday, and there's a lot of pigs in the movie. I won't ruin it for anyone, but the pigs are squealing, and they're all together. They're bunched up, and my whole heart can't take that. I can't see a vegan documentary. Like, I cannot do it. I will get traumatized. Anyway, pigs be big, and they be squealing. Go ahead.
Yeah. So one of the pigs had bit him, and then Terry's brother came over and was like, yo, what's up? What's going on? He's like, well, one of my pigs bit me. And he's like, oh, shooters, what are you going to do? And Terry was like, oh, I guess I'm probably going to have to, like, you know, put him down, kill him or something. But then his brother came back, I think, a few weeks later, and Terry had decided against it, actually, because I guess he had a love for his thicky daddy piggies. So he didn't kill that pig. That pig was around. But yeah, I mean, pigs, sometimes they can be aggressive. Like, you know, as I was saying, sometimes it's usually more wild pigs that will be more aggressive. Obviously, that makes sense. That is how logic works. And so in general, you know, domesticated pigs, there isn't really like really any counts of them hurting people necessarily. But like with wild pigs, like wild hogs, feral hogs, we all know about the feral hogs. They sometimes get people into trouble. And there was in 2019, there's this lady in Texas, because Texas is like overrun by feral pigs. There's just like a million pigs just running around Texas. And this lady, one time she was walking from her car into her house, and she, like, before she got to the, like, the front door of her house, which was like pretty close by, she got attacked by a herd of wild pigs.
Mm-mm.
And she died from the pig attack.
What?
Pigs, like what? Wild boar, are very scary and very dangerous.
Yeah. Also, the thing is, like, these pigs, some of them are super pigs because they're, like, super smart pigs. Watch
Mika's
out.
Horrified. I love it.
I is the one that bit our Terry. Terry.
Terry.
Was that a super pig? Did she come back and haunt him?
He was a domesticated pig. Okay. And we'll get back to Terry because, you know, this is Cadaver Gals. I was doing some foreshadowing. But
thank
now I'm
you
just
for
doing
the foreshadowing.
A little more detail.
That
you know?
So scares me, though. You know, you see pictures of those influencers in, like, I don't even know, Maldives, Bora Bora, I don't know, where they take pictures with the pigs in the ocean, like the wild pigs in the ocean. I have no interest whatsoever in being near those pigs. None at all.
But let's be real. Those are they're not domesticated, but they're around people all of the time.
Oh, yeah. Like, they know
so
people.
So, like,
they
might
see
as
them.
Well be. Remember, we talked about this with the wolves the other week?
Yes, we did. Wolf girl Taylor. Taylor, yeah. You're not a furry, are you?
No.
No.
I would not be judgmental. To be honest, I've questioned myself, you know? So, I just want to put it out there. It's okay.
Taylor loves the pigs. Nika wants to be the pigs. And I am the pig. So here we go.
Gabby's final form. Okay, go ahead, Gabby.
My final form. But actually, I am, since this is Cadaver Gals, I am fear-mongering. And they're actually, you know, they're not that. I mean, they do be attacking people out in the wild. The wild pigs do. But in terms of official reported deaths by wild pigs in the United States, since 1825, there have only been 5. So pretty low risk.
That's a lot lower than I would think.
But there might be a lot of unreported pig deaths, so we don't
Gabby
know.
Continues fear-mongering. He's like, these are the facts, but who knows?
But do we really trust those facts?
Yeah.
But facts can be different in the future. We're going to go in our Cadaver Gals time machine just to calculate this with Tennessee Williams and Nicolas Cage. To calculate pig deaths. Okay, let's go back to Terry, why don't we? So, you know, he's doing his farm thing, just whatever. And this is in like 2012. And yes, he's at the age of 69 at this point. It's 69. I can't do anything about that. Okay.
I totally missed that. It was 69?
Yeah.
Like the sex position?
Yeah, I didn't want to bring it up, but that was literally his age when this was occurring.
Okay.
But anyway, so it's the end of September in 2012, and another one of his family members comes by his house, and they can't find him.
Oh,
he's missing. They're like, where's Terry? Where is he? And they walk around, and then eventually they get to the enclosure where the pigs are kept, and first they spotted his dentures. And then they spotted some parts of his body.
Mm-mm. No. His dentures.
Yeah.
He was 69. He had fake teeth, Mika.
He had fake teeth.
No, I know what dentures are. I just, the thought of a pig wearing dentures came into my brain. I'm sorry, okay?
The pig was.
No, he didn't like the dentures.
That this is now that line of disrespect on our show.
I know it is.
So
that's why I
back.
Stopped myself. That's why I stopped
back.
Myself. Okay,
but
anyway.
Yeah, so. And so they were like, oh, shit. I'm sure they said a lot of things. But anyway, so the pigs had eaten him. Okay. And the thing, though, is they were never able to establish why the pigs ate him, because so much of his body was consumed. Obviously, the pathologist and et cetera couldn't ascertain what happened because there was not enough body left for them to determine what happened. And he was like, you know, the pathologist was like, well, theoretically, what could have happened is, you know, he might have had a heart attack or, you know, some sort of other more, you know, naturally occurring sudden thing happen. I forgot all words just now. You might have had a heart attack or something, and he might have fallen to the ground. And because pigs are omnivores, you know, they do eat vegetables and they also eat meat, they could have then just eaten him out of hunger, because if that's an option, they're going to do it, you know, because they eat a variety of, they're just like us. Pigs are just like us. But the pathologist could not rule out, they could not rule out whether or not the pigs deliberately attacked him, knocked him over, killed him, and ate him. They could not rule that out, because that is something that could have happened. So that's fun.
Are there any other instances in history where pigs have like gotten together and revolted against their master?
Yeah, and that, what is that nonfiction book? The famous one that is a fiction book. Oh, what, the Animal House?
Lord of the Flies?
Animal House. Well, here's the thing though. This hasn't, I looked around and there really aren't that many, you know, domesticated pig deaths. You know, there is the 5 feral pig deaths. But what actually is very dangerous is cattle, okay? Cattle are actually the bad boys of the farming industry, because they account for about 22 deaths a year, okay? So 22 people die, usually from blunt force trauma of the cattle attacking them. And there's this one study that came out in 2009 that said this really spooky thing, that it said that 75% of these cattle deaths were deliberate on the sake of the cattle.
Oh,
so you
yeah,
know,
yeah, I mean,
they talked
Taylor
with the cattle.
That. Taylor loves that. Okay. Taylor's like, free
it's
yourself.
It's probably problematic, but what does it mean to be deliberate as an animal? You know, but they, I think they mean it as like the cattle, you know, the person was doing something, whatever, but then the cattle attacked them, as opposed to like, you know, they ran into the cattle. I don't know.
So I have a lot of opinions and thoughts and stories on this.
I bet you do.
But I will try and limit it. Cows are huge and they're not, I don't feel like, and I could be attacked for this, but I don't feel like they're that smart. So you don't, like
they're not as smart as pigs for sure.
Yes. But I can also tell you, I had this horse and loved her, but she hated men. And so if she was like turned out in the pasture and there was a man in the ring with her or in the pasture with her, she would literally chase him down and like go after him. So I don't know, like that could have been some sort of trauma that she had that I don't know. Also, mares are a little bit moody.
Ladies.
No, mares are so moody. But anyway, I digress. It could be some sort of, who knows?
I mean, it could have been like just like a behavioral change, because some of the examples of the cattle was like, oh, there was a cow that was always known as being aggressive, a bull specifically, and that had attacked someone while they were just like milking another cow, and then that cow just like rammed them.
Well, that was exactly my next question. Was it a dairy cow versus a beef cow? Because there are differences, obviously.
Well, this one was a man cow, so he probably wasn't being milked.
Well, no, but you have to have them to breed them.
Oh.
But there's like completely separate breeds. We could go.
I feel like I'm in an interrogation. Okay. I'm like, I don't know.
No, it's fine. Okay, I'm gonna stop.
Taylor and her feminist horse.
No. I just have to explain myself, and I will take us completely full circle back to the pigs. So I went to college to be I was going to be a vet. That's what I wanted to be when I grew up. But turns out I didn't like all of the labs. They made me cry because I was having to dissect all kinds of things. And they made me cry.
Oh my gosh. Have you seen the movie Raw?
No.
Okay.
Oh yeah,
so
don't see that.
You need to watch it, Taylor. No. You need to watch it.
No.
Anyway, keep going. But everyone, cadaver, if you like gruesome but really good filmmaking, you should watch Raw. Okay, go ahead.
So anyway, full circle. One, do you want to hear a fun pig fact?
Yes.
Sure.
They produce the most sperm relative to their body type. Or relative to like the body size. So
what is that body type?
I meant body size. size.
It's an hourglass without the like the divot in it. It's no, just a cylinder.
No,
dad bod.
No, it's 100 times that of a human.
Ew. I did not think I was going to sit down today in the afternoon with my glass of water and listen to you guys talk about pig sperm. Like, that was not really in my plans today.
How could it not be in your plan, Mika? It is.
That's fair.
Anyway, Taylor, so I was I brought it back to the pigs. Okay, Gabby.
Congratulations. Yeah. Taylor, I'm sorry that you never got to learn about fun animals.
But anyway, so in the fear-mongering, yeah, it's the cattle who seem to, you know, be the more quote-unquote dangerous farm animal. So watch out, you know, if you're on near cattle. Actually, don't even watch out. It's not even a real risk. Okay, guys, everything's fine. but there was, like, in this study, they did mention, I couldn't find any more details on this, but there have been times where, like, different farm animals have banded together to attack a person.
Okay.
Isn't that fun? Like, I mean, a little pig and cow and goat army.
Oh my gosh. I grew up watching. Have you guys seen the movie Chicken Run?
Yes.
Okay. That's how I picture any farm animal, like, banding together. And they did it. Queens. Oh, that was
but
such a
was
good
that
movie.
The claymation one?
Yes.
Oh, it's so scary.
It is scary. It for real, like, traumatized me as a child. Yeah, I couldn't eat chicken pie for, like, the longest time after I watched that. I still ate it later, though. But I'm horrified, Gabby. I was going to ask a question.
Watch out, but don't actually watch out. Everything is fine.
What happened to our friend? Sorry. I mean, I know he died, but, like, they never figured anything out. Where do his pigs go?
Oh, yeah. What'd they do with their pigs, you know?
Oh, for your sake, Taylor, they now live in the house and are very happy. And, you know, they're strictly on a salad diet because they feel bad about what they did.
No, the first you were literally like they went to go live on a farm somewhere.
They went to this special farm after that. I don't know what happened to the pigs afterwards because I am bad at journalism.
Oh, that's
also,
okay.
I didn't want to call up anybody, be like, hey, saw this story from like 9 years ago. Question, quick cue. What happened to the pigs?
Yeah. Imagine.
Oh, no. All right. Well, Gabby, thank you for that. I apologize for my diverting the story to Pigsburg.
Taylor, we knew it was going to happen. We knew this episode you were going to have some fun facts.
Oh, yeah. I've got more coming at you after this break.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Okay, welcome back. I'm sorry if this makes you cry, but is your pet gonna eat you? Probably.
Ooh, I love this question.
Yeah. So we're gonna specifically talk about the Jimmies, the Josies, the Kimchis, and the Gusses of the world, okay?
Cats and dogs?
Yes, aka cats and dogs.
Oh my God, what if all of our pets got together and started a little army?
Oh my God, that'd be the cutest army ever.
If they had matching outfits.
They can just take me. I don't care.
There's just something about like cats and dogs holding hands and plotting evil that makes me I just want to give them the world, you know?
We should make an album cover of all of our pets.
Just their little paws holding hands. That's what really got me, you know? The paws. Aww. Oh my gosh.
Okay, well, this is going to take a very different turn. But basically, you know, you've heard stories about like when people have died and then their cats or dogs or other pets, birds, hamsters eat their owners. But
hamsters also eat their young sometime. So
yeah, so that's not a surprise.
Never trust a hamster.
Exactly. Okay, so basically the question is, are dogs or cats more likely to eat you? Well, there is
good question.
Right. Well, the answer is your dog.
Gus, you're so guilty.
Well, it's just funny because everyone talks about cats being so devious and dogs being so loyal. But look now.
The dog loyally eats your body.
Here's what happens,
like a real friend.
Yeah. So here's what potentially happens. We don't know this for sure because we are not dogs and we are not cats. Mm-mm. Fun fact. But basically, cats are kind of just like lazy and like meh, whatever. Whereas dogs will be like, you know, if they see something happen to their human, say he has a heart attack or what have you, the dog comes over and they'll typically like lick at you or nudge you with their nose or something like that. But if they're not getting the reaction out of you, they get a little bit more frantic and upset. And then they start kind of like nibbling on you. And then it's kind of keeps going from there. The most common areas, and this happens, about 24% of dogs will begin consuming their owners within 24 hours.
That's upsetting. I know you are upsetting people right now. I know people are upset.
But here's the thing.
But it's because they love you.
Exactly.
I love this story, Nika.
Okay, go ahead.
Exactly. So the thing is they get frantic, and like dogs that have like anxiety and like separation anxiety are thought to be worse about this. So Gus would definitely consume me quickly, I guess.
But he's so little.
He is so little and small and cute and sweet.
He'd only eat like half your face, I think.
Yeah. But a lot of it, that's another thing, is it depends on like how much, like how big the dog is. Like a little chihuahua, they would eat everything. Who are we kidding?
That's true.
Like littler dogs aren't capable of eating quite as much because they're smaller. But there was actually an instance where this dog, despite even having food readily available in his bowl, he still consumed his owner or like began. So, and they typically, like I said, go for your face or like your hands, feet, like extremities. They don't like straight up go for your torso. So they're just like, that kind of like further indicates that they're perhaps just like trying to wake you up and like get you moving and grooving. But sadly, so how traumatic for the dog this is, and or cat. The cat typically doesn't, they don't really even care that much. They're just like, all right, meh, whatever. They don't notice. And my other, and this I didn't find anywhere, but I am just also guessing that cats are a little bit more self-sufficient than dogs. Like Cats can, like, they're escape artists. They can get out. They could find a way to get out or get mice or squirrels or whatever. And so they could still, I feel like, be okay. But little Gussie still needs me, you know?
So even after death.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you've done something wrong if you die and your dog doesn't eat you.
Honestly.
You didn't foster a codependent relationship with your dog? Loser.
So in summation, dogs will very likely eat you. Doesn't matter how close you are, how sweet they are, how well-trained they are. It's really just because they love you.
There we go.
All right, Nika, change the subject to a slightly different topic.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to make this better because we're going to the roaring 20s.
Love that.
Fun.
Not the current 20s. Not the currently roaring.
The crying 20s.
This is not. This is the crying 20s. We're going to the roaring 20s. Okay. The 1920s. This story is horse adjacent.
Love it.
Horse themed. So obviously, shout out to Taylor,
again,
the horse girl, Taylor Titty Church. Yes, that is her equestrian name. Okay. I did write this in my outline. Do I sound natural? Okay.
Yeah, that felt really off the cuff. That was really good.
Thank you. I'm so off the cuff. Okay. So we're going to meet this guy. Oh, exciting.
Ooh.
His name's Frank Hayes. Okay. Ooh. He was a 22-year-old Irish-American, you know.
Oh.
Good immigrant blood, all of that good stuff. Hard worker. He was making his way in New York, you know. He was working as a stableman, which is basically someone who tends to horses. And in this case,
oh, I thought you meant he was like stable. He was like a stable dude.
No, quite not, actually.
Okay.
He was probably struggling a little bit. And he also trained them sometimes. And he was very good at his job. But he was ambitious, as all Irish Americans in the 20s in New York are. Am I right? Bada beam, bada boom. New York.
Wait, is that a stereotype about Irish people, or is it about how they're drunk? Wait, I don't get it. Or were you just saying that? Okay.
No, I was saying they're ambitious. They want to work hard. We're immigrants, you know? Bleh.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Potatoes. Oh, my God. Anyway. I'm so sorry. Okay. I hate when white people are like, I've been discriminated against. I am Irish. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Can you do an Irish accent?
Where's my pot of gold?
Oh my god, that was offensive. No.
Why do you ask me to do accents if you know I'm going to do a bad job?
Like, because we want you to alienate more of our listeners.
Yes.
Oh my god, okay. Anyway, so he was working real hard, as you know. Oh, and he had his ambitions of becoming a jockey. That's what he wanted to do. So finally, on June 4th, 1923, in New York's Belmont Park, he got his chance. This woman, Miss A.M. Freeling, wanted her horse named Sweet Kiss.
Cute.
Okay.
Cute.
I have feelings about horse names.
It was only Sweet Kiss? Aren't their names supposed to be like the whole, like at least a minute long to say each of them, I feel?
I don't know. I feel like any horse that I've met has always been named something like a unicorn pee, Sweet Kiss, Hershey's Kiss.
Moonlight.
I don't even freaking know. Yeah, Taylor's feminist horse, Whispers of Moonlight. Who the fuck? I don't even know how you would call that. Hey, Whispers of Moonlight,
you don't.
Come here.
They have like a stable name and a show name.
What was Moonlight's stable name?
Whispers or Princess?
Okay, anyway.
I called her
My
Princess.
My name is Whispers of Moonlight, but I go by Princess.
Oh, that is fascinating and beautiful. I cannot relate lovingly, Taylor, but okay. So
you asked and I told.
You know, and thank you for telling. Thank you for telling. So she was looking for a jockey, and she was obviously having trouble finding a first-rate jockey at such short notice. Procrastinators, am I right? Okay. So she knew Frank because he had trained Sweet Kiss in races, and she was like, hey, I know you have ambitions of being a jockey. Why don't you try to, you know, this specific race with Sweet Kiss? He jumped at the opportunity. And then she was like, wait, you're 142 pounds. You're not going to make the cut. Never mind. And he was like, no. I'll lose the weight. I'll qualify. It'll be great. She was like, okay, I guess so.
How skinny do you have to be a jockey?
Max is 130 pounds. Oh. So, and it was on short notice. But obviously this was a big deal and no one really believed in him. They were like, that boy, he's a youngin. It don't matter. You know what I mean? Like the way people don't talk in New York. so sorry. No, a 1920s New York accent I cannot do. I can't do any accent actually. Okay. So he was just a stable
one Australian
man, you know?
Tends to disagree.
Oh, I so just appreciate
one,
that.
Just one. Just one. The others still know. Like, no, you suck.
Oh, it's understandable. So no one believed in him, you know, classism. Odds were against him. He had never won a race. He had never raced a race before, but he quickly got his shit together. He trained harder than ever before. Okay, Rocky theme song. And then he had to go, obviously, on a very strict diet to meet the requirements needed to race. Now, I didn't know this. It kind of actually shocked me, but in the 1920s and 30s, most jockeys, as I recently said, could not be over 130 pounds. And the ideal weight, it seems, was like 110 pounds. Yeah. That is very small. I have not been, you know, around 100 pounds since I was like 12. Just my thighs, I think, are 100 pounds. And they were very strict about it. Like if you were even a little bit over, you could not race, period. And I read recently that the Kentucky Derby requires jockeys to be less than 126 pounds.
And there's a height requirement too, isn't there?
I didn't read that there was a height requirement, but that most jockeys are short because even though there's not a height requirement, you have to be very, very small, lean, thin. I mean, literally that's like the average size of, I don't know, like a preteen. Like that's just bananas to me. And
like a tiny ballerina.
I mean, literally, it's like the same kind of, like, you know, Gus. Restrictions.
Little Gus.
Okay. Yes.
Gus? Is Gus a jockey?
Oh, he could be.
Oh, he'd be so
that
cute.
That sounds really cute, actually.
Racing a horse.
He's never seen a horse. Continue.
Oh my
what?
Gosh. He would lose his I mind know. If he saw. Whispers of Moonlight, is that you? Let's band against Taylor. Okay, so that has obviously caused a lot of body image issues and eating disorders in jockeys. Apparently, I read that there were these things called heaving bowls, which were porcelain bowls that would be in the jockeys' rooms so they could throw up before a race or after they ate or before stepping on the scale. And then these were taken away only 10 years ago at the track where, like, the Kentucky Derby happens, which is extremely recent and just took me by surprise. Like, I was like, oh, this is
very... I was in college when that happened.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you, like, good? Like, happy about them taking that away? Or were you like, no, I mean, they should be bulimic? But, like,
that's not stopping anyone, unfortunately.
I know. It's, yeah, I read an interview. They were like, toilet bowls still exist. Bowls? Where the fuck did that come from?
It's okay. Messed up.
Yes. Well, anyway, so Frank was obviously training hard and losing weight. And oh my gosh, I also read that some jockeys stick to a diet of less than 600 calories per day, which is kind of what he was doing as well. Again, that is very unhealthy and unsafe. That is not the safe way of losing weight. So he was doing all of these things to prepare for his debut, and he made it happen. He got to 130 pounds, just barely, but got there. And when he entered the jockey's room, all these jockeys were like surprised at how excited he was and were surprised that he had even made the cut. And as he waited at the starting post, he was heard saying to his fellow jockeys, I'm not going to do an accent, I'm just going to say it. Today's a good day to make history.
Oh.
So, oh my gosh, like he's, you know, doing his dream and it seems like he was a really good trainer. Now there was a crowd favorite. His name was Gimme. Again, like no long horse name. I don't know, maybe.
They had to
maybe
get long because all of them got taken.
Okay, well, that makes more sense. Does every horse name have to be totally unique?
I mean, they're registered, yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
I mean, not like every horse, amazing. But you know what I mean? Like, if they're going to be racing or whatever, if they're, like, or competing, then yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Wow, that's amazing. Well, this horse's name was Gimme, and he had been killing it lately. Everyone was betting on this horse. He was, like, the prized horse, right? But when the shot went off and the horses started racing, Sweet Kiss was in the lead. Okay.
Sweet Kiss.
Ooh, I know.
Love him.
I know.
Her.
Now, it was a 2-mile course with 12 jumps, and Hayes and Sweet Kiss were doing the damn thing. It was impressive and professional and graceful. People rose to their feet as he beat Gimme and crossed the finish line first.
Yay.
And yeah, he won. It's amazing.
Champion.
Now, it had been, I know, yes. Now, he had been looking like, Hayes was whispering into Sweet Kiss's ear as he raced because he was like slumped over on the horse, and everyone was like, oh my gosh, the bond between horse and man, like so beautiful. And then the horse kept racing a little bit and then stopped about 100 yards after crossing the finish line. And as Miss Frayling ran down to congratulate Frank, he fell off the horse face first.
No.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. A physician ran up to him, took his pulse, and declared him dead.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
It no seems one saw it
like
coming.
No one. Well, we are on Cadaver Gals, so it seems like he had a heart attack mid-race and managed to stay in the saddle and win.
That is so impressive.
It's insane.
It's hard enough to stay in the saddle when you're trying to stay in the saddle.
Yeah, but when your body gives up, you know, his body said, let's give him this one last thing. So he's the only person to ever win a sporting event while dead. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And then Sweet Kiss got a really bad reputation because jockeys tend to be a little superstitious.
Yeah.
So she was actually given the name Sweet Kiss of Death, and she never rode again. And then Hayes was buried 3 days later with the riding silks that he wore in his first and only race.
I mean, that is so sad, but at the same time, like, early retirement, that's okay for her.
Oh, you're talking about the horse.
Yeah. But, like, also dying is fine.
Yeah. It seems like they think it was probably a heart attack that kind of came on from... At first, they were like, oh, it's the excitement of the race. But then they realized he was, like, starving himself and super dehydrated and, like, overworked to get to the weight that he needed to race. And that's what caused his death.
That's so sad. But, I mean... Yeah. Yeah. You have to take care of yourself, people.
How are you going to follow your dreams if you're dead, you know?
Exactly. Anyway.
Yes.
Shall we take a break and come back so I can talk more about horses?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, of course.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Generations Riviera Maya Resort and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.
All right, welcome back. Nika just told us about the story about the jockey who sadly died while riding a horse, but at least he was doing what he loved and he was still a winner. Winner, chicken dinner. Speaking of chicken dinner, horse dinner.
Whoa. That was good. Wow.
I was feeling sassy when I wrote this. Okay. So we're going to talk some horse facts, which we love that for me. As we all probably know, horses are herbivores, meaning they eat what we think of as like grains, grasses, salts and minerals, and some fruits and vegetables. Their stomach is meant to handle all of that stuff. But they do, and their mouths have canine teeth, which, you know, are like cats and dogs, and those are like serpent teeth meant to rip flesh.
Canines are so hot in people.
Oh, do you like mine?
They're honestly my favorite part of anyone's smile. If someone has like pronounced canines, I'm like, oh my god, you know?
Gabby, let's see your canines.
I think mine are kind of flat at this point because they're not very sharp.
You've been ripping anymore. A lot of flesh.
Been ripping a lot of flesh and I am exhausted.
I love vampires. Okay,
so horses don't really rip flesh, obviously. But don't get me wrong, there are some little punks out there who like to bite you, but they're not trying to like tear your skin and consume you.
Just biting for fun.
They just are like, sometimes they're just like punks and they're just like, they just like to nip at you. Anyway, so horses are always chilling in pastures grazing. They're like chewing all of the time. It is basically a habit. So like when you're sitting there and your horse is in, like say you're sitting there and you're like eating a hamburger or like chicken wings or something, and the horse is sitting there like, I mean, he might take a bite. And so that's meat and that's weird. Okay, so horses' stomachs are really meant for like grains and plant matter and whatnot. Not really for meat, but it's like somewhere in between. So in theory, it can handle it. However, meat is not good for horses. They like meat can go bad pretty quickly, and horses can't throw up. So if they were to get sick by that, then they cannot get that out. And so they would pretty quickly get sick. And if not treated, they would die. So
they can't throw up.
No. And can you imagine if they did? That would be horrifying.
I mean, I've seen a horse turd before and I don't like that.
A horse turd?
I was saying turd as a verb.
It turded. Okay.
I am disgusted by the both of you right now. Okay, continue.
Okay. Well, all of this has been just to put off talking about horses actually eating meat. There have been instances long ago, like the early 1900s, there was this guy who was like traveling in the South Pole. His name was Ernest Shackleton's, I think. Yeah.
And
he had a pony named Socks. And so they're in the South.
Socks. Socks is my grandparents' dog's name. That's cute.
That is cute. But yeah, so Socks, like they're in the South Pole. There's nothing for, there's no grass. There is like no plant matter. There's only meat. So Socks shares the same diet as Sir Ernest Shackleton's. So like that, that's like the most popular horse out there that has been known to eat meat, but it turns out he did okay.
So wait, that was a lot of information. So they went to the South Pole and they didn't have any other food. So they just the pony eat meat.
Yeah. And the horse kind of became famous as like the meat eating horse, which was just like a weird thing.
Okay.
Again,
fun trick.
Putting off this story about the horse of Lucknow.
Okay.
So in the 1800s, there was apparently a horse that went on a murderous rampage.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
That Ernest's horse?
Huh?
Is that Ernest's horse? No,
no,
right?
No. This is a different
horse. That's not Socks. Okay.
That was just a fun little fact about that one horse that ate some meat. This is about a murderous horse. And so this one day, these two English guys come riding up into Lucknow with their, like, in their wagon, and the town was completely deserted. There was, like, no one in sight. And they're like, what's going on here? This is, like, really, really weird. And then they, like, see a little bit of blood, see a little bit more blood over here, see a little bit more over there. They see a corpse here. They see a corpse there. Like, yeah.
There are Do corpses, they not, like, get corpse out? Everywhere. Just, corpse.
Everywhere's a corpse. Yeah. And, like, their faces had been, like, they were not looking good. They were like trampled and just bad. Basically
bad skincare.
Basically just a bloodbath. And then they come up on these two dudes and the British guys are like, hey, what's going on? And they're like, the man eater is loose. And the man eater is what is this horse that they referred to him as the man eater because he was literally like a man eating horse. So the man eater was a bay stallion. Bay means that they are brown with black legs and black mane and tail. Stallion meaning he was a man. So typically horses have a fight or flight instinct. and usually they choose to peace out, but not this one. So at some point, they see the horse, and he has a child in his mouth.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Really bad.
But why?
What's wrong with this horse?
We don't know.
Did the British dude see the horse?
Yes, they did. They saw him with
the child,
a child in his mouth.
Oh, no.
So they're like, oh, no, this is really bad. So eventually they catch him. They kind of like corral him. Also, their horses that were pulling the wagon were like, no, we're not messing with this horse. This is too much. But eventually they catch him, and the king was like, oh, this is some great entertainment. Like, this horse is nutso.
This horse is nutso.
He was. Let's be real. He was. Okay. He had killed like a bunch of people.
I mean,
so
yeah.
So the king's like, oh, this horse killed a bunch of people. What fun.
Well, yes. So, well, also, side note, the horse had like blood dripping from its face and like had blood all over it from just like all of the people it had killed.
Oh, no.
So anyway, the king was like, this horse, like, we need to like make some money off of this horse, and we need to like exploit him for entertainment, right? So they decided to do what they used to do in ancient Rome at the Colosseum. And they pit this. This is where animal cruelty comes in. So if you don't like that, you know, I agree. But this, I'm just telling you the facts, okay?
Yeah, none of us like it. But if it's like an active trigger for you, then
peace out. Yes. Do the flight, and don't fight us. Just flight like most other horses. Don't be like the man eater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, be like a horse.
So we're all man eaters, technically.
Yep. So I won't go into too much detail, but here's what I'll say. They pitted this horse up against a tiger. And
oh, no.
Yes.
Why would they do that? The tiger is going to kill the horse, obviously.
Obviously not.
What?
The horse kicks the tiger in the face, breaking his jaw. And the tiger's like, the tiger didn't die. He's fine. And he was like,
he's still alive.
He's still alive today. He's fine.
But yeah.
But he did break his jaw. And he's like, I'm not messing with that horse. So then you get another tiger. Same thing. Tiger's like, I don't even want to mess with this horse. Like, didn't even try. And the horse was like, yeah, I already took one down. I don't need to do another.
So what happened to the man eater?
I mean, they did that for a little while, but they realized the horse was going to win every single time, and they didn't want to be, like, getting rid of all their tigers. I don't really know. They needed their tigers for other things, I suppose.
So he just, like, lived to old age and then passed away peacefully?
That's what I would like to imagine.
In his castle with the pigs from the previous story.
I didn't read where they, like, put him down or anything. They were just like, yeah, I mean, he's this kind of crazy-ass horse that we all deal with.
Yet they put Harambe down. Wow.
Yeah, it's rude.
There's a lesson there or something.
Yeah, there's some sort of lesson. Listener, think about it. Report back with the lesson of these stories.
Yeah. Please don't, actually.
Yeah, I don't think I want to relive this conversation.
No.
Yeah, I feel like it's also crazy that the horse existed in the first place. Because like when they're saying the man-eating horse is loose, it's kind of like, well, it's already stomped on a man. So it's amazing that it was still around. They're like, yeah, it even already killed people, so we just still have it. And then it rampaged in this like town.
I thought the same thing. I mean, seemingly, like today, I can't even talk about it. It's too hard.
Yeah.
So anyway,
well, this is
We're not going to make you cry. Yeah. We're not going to make you cry today.
No, yeah, not today.
Stop. Not about this, at least. Other things, sure.
So, okay. Next question. When can I take y'all horseback riding with me?
Literally as soon as possible.
Okay.
But like maybe when it's less hot.
I was going to ride this Sunday, and then I was like, it's really hot because you have to like, well, you don't have to, but you should wear pants instead of like shorts and boots, closed-toe shoes. Like it's just hot, you know?
Yeah.
Nico's like, I was going to wear a bodysuit. What are you talking about?
No, literally the moment fall hits, I'm there.
Okay.
Put me on, coach, you know?
Yeah. Can we get like an apple and feed it to the horse?
Yes. They love apples.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it in the movies.
They love apples and carrots and all kinds of things. But yes, thank you for another listening to this episode. If you've made it this far, talk at you next week.
Cadaver Gals.
Cadaver Gals is a production of School of Humans and iHeartRadio. It's hosted, produced, mixed, researched, etc. by Gabby Watts, Nico Duarte, and Taylor Church. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Cadaver Gals. Leave us a comment, but only if it's good for our mental health.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.